Turner at his house here in Bakersfield, and he was just telling me that he has been in this area for a long, long time. Where was it that you were raised, Tumbleweed?
Well, I was raised back in Wisconsin, right on the Mississippi River.
Not Bakersfield.
No, you asked me where I was raised. Well, I was born and raised there up until I was old enough to get out of on my own, which was after that I graduated from high school. And I spent a long time ago, and I won't tell you what date it was either.
Well, darn.
But anyway, from there, of course, I always was interested in country music, even in that part of the country in Wisconsin at that time. Country music was a big thing, and also another thing, it was a highly German community, and they had the little German bands, which was quite popular. If it wasn't country music, it was a little German band in there playing for the dance. They had two choices.
Right. You mean like the polka band?
Yeah, like the polka band. They played polkas, and they played waltzes, and they played two-steps.
Schottische.
Oh, they used to just kick up a storm when they'd schottische back there in that part of the country.
Isn't that where Lawrence Welk was raised?
Yeah, well, Lawrence, he was up in in Dakota. See, Wisconsin's just down the road a piece, shall we say, from there. But the music back in that part of the country was either the country music, and by the way, there was a lot of good old fiddlers back there at that time also.
I'm sure.
And so it was just a switch. Of course, now the big bands came through some of the bigger towns.
Mm-hmm.
And once a week, one of the big-time bands like Lawrence Welk or old Kay Kaiser, Guy Lombardo, they all made the circuit through there, a little town called Dubuque, Iowa, about 12 miles away. Dubuque is a good-sized Iowa town. Used to cross the Mississippi, the Mississippi. We have went down there by boat. It's about 15 miles down the Mississippi River by motor launch to Dubuque. Went to a dance, then come back in the moonlight. It's quite a thing, about 4 o'clock in the morning, crawling around on the Mississippi River.
Pretty nice.
But anyway, getting back to country music in California, I started out in Kalinga, which is just about 90 miles north of here, up in the valley.
How did you get from Wisconsin to Kalinga?
Well, I was to Indiana first.
Okay.
And when I was in Indiana, Uncle Sam sent me a little notification saying, "I want you," and I ended up in the Marine Corps.
I see.
And when I got out of the Marine Corps, in 1946, I came to Fresno. And in Fresno, at the time there, I had a couple of drive-in theaters out on the west side, out toward Kalinga and Huron, out in the flats out there.
Mm-hmm.
And while I had this drive-in theater in Kalinga, I got talking to Vern Stedry. He was the owner of the radio station there in Kalinga. And I said, I went up to him one day, I said, "How come you don't have a country program on your radio station?" And he looked at me kind of funny, and he said, "Well," he said, "nobody's ever sold one." And I said, "What do you mean, sold one?" And he said, "Well," he said, "you got to sell advertising so you can buy radio time to put it on the air." So I went back out the drive-in, and I got thinking about that, so I went over to Huron, a few of those little towns around there, and I came back that afternoon, and I had I went out that afternoon and sold his advertising for him. I come back next morning and throw the contracts down. He said, "Hey," he said, I said, "Here's your contracts. Now what do I do?" He said, "Well," he said, "I think I can get you on the air about noon." I said, "What do you mean on the air about noon?" He said, "Well, you sold the program." He said, "You got to do a country western program." This is back about 1950, you know. This is back years. And so I said, "Well, that sounds all right." And he said, "What's your name going to be?" He said, "You got to have a name." He said, "You go on radio, you got to have a name." Well, Kalinga is all tumbleweeds and wind and sand. That's the only thing I've ever found about up there. So I looked out the window, and the old tumbleweeds were rolling, you know, and things were just a-blowing. And I looked out, and I said, "Hey, how about Tumbleweed Turner?" He said, "Say, that's good." So I've been stuck with that ever since. That's where I got the name of Tumbleweed.
Do you know that I don't even know your real name?
You don't know my real name?
No, because I know you by Tumbleweed.
How about that, huh?
I'm not going to tell.
I won't tell what it is, because after I told my name, you'd probably say, "Well, let's just shut this thing off and quit, shall we?"
So you're going to be Tumbleweed.
No, I'm going to be Tumbleweed. From there, I worked there. Well, I sold out my drive-in theaters, and then I came down to Taft, California, which I'm always sneaking up on Bakersfield here.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for KTKR over at Taft there for a couple of years. And while I was working over there, I got acquainted with an old boy over here in Fresno. And he said, hey, they got a station up here. And I think it was KBMA or KMAK. I believe it was when it was radio here. So I put this program on here for, I don't know, about 6 months. In the meantime, I was looking around. I was always looking, you know, at that time. We was always looking for getting across the street. It always looked better over there.
Right.
So I went over one day to KPMC, and I talked to Paul Behrman up there. He was the station manager. And he said, yeah, I think maybe we can use you. So that's when I went on Kern County Country Time, and I was on there just approximately 10 years before they retired me. And through the 10 years, KPMC is a 10,000-watt clear channel station, and we covered about 14 states at night with this with this program. And it was a very popular program because, and the music I played all old country music. One guy called up one night there, and he said, don't you have any newer records than that? And I said, no, the last record I got was 1934. And he didn't think very much of that. But anyway, I did always play all old-time music, and I used to stomp the fire out of the fiddle tunes. And, and I guess when you was a little girl up in Idaho, you could still remember Kern County Country Time, couldn't you?
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's how I first knew about Tumbleweed
Kern. But anyway... as I said, I was there practically 10 years at KPMC, and then I got sick, and they retired me. And I spent a year in the hospital, and I came out, and I got to feeling pretty good again. And as a pastime now, as I was supposed to be retired, which really I am retired, but I tell you, I run into Kelly Kirtsey. You know, you've heard of Kelly Kirtsey. He's the head of the Old Time Fiddlers Federation of Judges. So he said, why don't you become a judge? And I said, well, I don't know whether I'm smart enough to become a judge or not. And he said, oh, I think you are. So we corresponded and we talked, and I went through, I judged a couple of contests that he was overseeing. And he put me, he said, well, he said, I think you're doing all right. He said, the best way is to turn you loose and see whether you get run out of town or not when the contest is over. So that's how I got to become a fiddler judge for the Old Time Fiddlers Association. And I have judged quite a few contests. The fact is, I get about maybe 10, 12 a year that I judge. Last year, I had the honor of being selected as a judge for the Northwestern Regional Contest up in Spokane. That was quite a thing, Jen. I know you're quite a fiddle player, but and I think you know quite a few of those people. Because, and by the way, a lot of your old friends from Weezer, Idaho was over there. I met them when I was over there. And but they had 200 fiddlers, and each fiddler plays three tunes. That's 600 tunes I heard from Thursday morning until we quit at Saturday night, 11 o'clock. And you know that I didn't care much about listening to fiddle tunes on the radio coming home. But we, it's something that's really, really nice. And I have had, I have met so many people that, now, don't get me wrong when I say about fiddling, because there's always country music. Wherever there's a fiddle contest, there's country music, there's bluegrass. It's just about a cross-section of anything there is in the country when you go to a full-time fiddle contest.
That's true.
And you meet the people from all over the country. Their whole aim, actually, is just to hear good fiddle music, good country music. And well, anyway, but I do believe that country music is going to be around for a long time. I know that's going to be. It's been there for 100 years already. I know that. Yeah. How many hundred years? Yeah. My goodness.
Seems like it's really right on the top of things right now, too.
It is.
And changing a little bit all the time. But, boy, like you say, the fiddle has not died out in the least. It's just it's increased, if anything.
I was talking, I was up to, as I said, I make so many of these fiddle contests every year, you know.
Yeah.
I was up to... where do they have the dam up here? Where, the dam across the river, across the creek up there? Oroville? No, not Oroville.
Yeah, Oroville.
Oroville, that's where it was. I was up to Oroville, and I was talking to an old fiddler up there, and he said, what's that thing you got there? I said, that's a five-string fiddle. He said, let me see it. He played on it a while. Finally got using the fifth string a little bit, and he sat there and he said, "Well, I finally found a fiddle that'll work out all right." And I said, "What for?" He said, "Well," he said, "I've been playing a tune. I always run out of low notes. This is the first time in my life I ever played it and had enough notes to go all the way down the scale where it belonged." So it just kind of proves and shows that I guess there is an advantage to them, too.
Right. It shows the progress.
That's right. It's progress, actually, what it is. And
let's back up just for a second, because okay. I was thinking about, I want to ask you a little bit more about what's been happening in Kern County.
Okay.
You know, when you... back about, the time that, well, of course, Buck Owens and Merle Haggard are probably the two best-known names from Bakersfield. But back when they, even before they got their start, there was Jimmy Thomason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, of course, you were on the radio, KPMC.
Yeah.
Then, right during that time period, what was happening that you remember, you know, in some of the, like some of the bands, some of the big-name bands that came, and... some of the TV things that were going on, too.
Well, at that time, Buck was just getting started.
Right.
The fact is, I'm going to go back another year before KPMC. From there, I'm from Taft. I made a mistake. I didn't come to Bakersfield. I went to Tulare.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I was up to Tulare there about a year. And while I was up there, Buck came in with a show. It was Buck and Bonnie... And they had some artist with them. I can't remember just which artist was this. Now, this is back in about 60, I guess, or something, 62 or 63 or something like that.
It wouldn't have been Loretta Lynn.
No, it wasn't Loretta Lynn at that time, no. Loretta Lynn hadn't got started yet. She was still becoming a grandmother or mother yet at that time. That was before the pill, I believe. Anyway, Buck was up there for a show, and... he come into town, and I knew Buck from Bakersfield, of course. When he played out here at the Blackboard, I'd met Buck, and I'd been a friend of Buck for quite a while. And he came up there, and me and him went out and had supper. We went out to dinner. No, we had hamburgers.
Oh, hamburgers. With the big dinner.
So after the dinner was over, they come back to do the show. What it was, they were doing a show dance type of thing at that time. You go in and they do a show, and then you dance a while, and then they do a show. In fact, as the audience all stood up right ahead of the stage, they never done any dancing, but they watched the show. The show was good.
That's exactly what we do a lot of times. Do
that? Yeah, I imagine so. I imagine you do. But that's what the type of thing at that time was, what was in, I guess. They called it on the in. So... anyway, I'll never forget Buck. Buck used to get after me a little bit. I used to pester him quite a bit, you know. And every time I'd go out and see Buck, and he'd say, "Well, what do you want me to sing?" I'd go, you know, I put my hands up like that and say, "How about Back in the Saddle Again, Buck?" And, oh, God, it'd just tear him up. We was up there at Tulare, and I had to pull it that night up there, and we had a big crowd up there that night. And he just turned around and looked, and he said, "That dadgum tumbleweed turner's in the crowd somewhere there tonight." Every place we went, I always wanted Buck to sing with Gene Autry's Back in the Saddle Again. He could have shot me. Anyway, we were all good friends at that time. Of course, now Merle hadn't started yet at that time. And, the people at that time, there was wasn't too many shows coming in here because there was no promotion on it. Well, there was Cousin Herb's Trading Post was on.
Right.
And
did Jimmy Thomason do? Didn't
Jimmy was with Jimmy was at that time. He was with Cousin Herb. He done some fiddling, of course. Now Jimmy's a pretty good fiddler, and Jimmy always more or less had a band of his own. And Jimmy played a lot of gigs. I mean, he did. He played a lot of gigs. And Jimmy would come over to the program when I was on KPMC. Of course, I interviewed everybody. Buck used to come over, Don Rich, and him and Don Rich would come over there, and we'd just spend an evening. That's one thing about the program I had. It was very, very home-like. It was very relaxed, I'm telling you. And they'd come over and spend an evening. Buck was just getting started. And he was, well, let's see, what in the world was that one, Together Again, on that first album that came out, that first album again?
Oh, when they couldn't decide which way to go.
But we wore that one album out, I know
with
that.
With Act Naturally?
Yeah, Act Naturally came was on that. And what was the other big one there at that time?
Tiger by the Tail,
that was the next one. That was right after. That came right after that.
Because Love's Gonna Live Here.
Yeah, Love's Gonna Live Here Again. That was a biggie that put him up there. And I know him and Don had come over, and he'd stop by once in a while because they weren't too busy right at that time. Mm-hmm. That, of course, after things got got going. Once in a while, he'd get a chance. He'd call me on the phone. At least he kept in touch anyway. And that was in the early part when Buck was starting out. Then I think a few years later, then Merle started to...
He started actually with Buck.
Yes, he did. Well, they played together and they sang together. I mean, they worked. In fact, they worked together in the first. Buck, you know, he started out here at the Blackboard. He was just a guitar picker, just a guitar picker. And
I think Bill Woods is the one he credits for.
Yeah, Bill.
Kind of
then there was Bill Woods, my old buddy Bill Woods. Of course, Bill and I have been friends, I guess, too, for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And, well, the same as the whole works. And that all these fellows that have been in the business a long time, like Bill, Jimmy Thomason, Buck, Merle. Every once in a while, Merle will call me. If Buck wants something, he'll call me. I mean, I don't bother him. If he knows he wants something, I'll hear from him soon enough. But anyway, I mean, it's real nice that way. You don't go bothering these people. If they want something that you have, they'll call you.
Here.
They know you're here, and you know they know they'll get it. And I really believe that is a fine relationship to have, because these people are actually busy. They just don't know what in the world, you don't know what the world they have to do to keep up with the image that they have, and it's just almost impossible to see them. And so I always figured if they want me, they can call me. I'm usually home. And the relationship that way has been very well indeed.
How about some of the big name people, like some of the bands who came through? Were there any bands that played the big dance halls, like Bob Wills?
Bob Wills was here. I don't know how I missed that.
Use some of the local musicians, or did he pretty much keep his own on tour?
Well, on tours he carried his own band.
Yeah.
Because he had his own style of music, just like Hank Thompson when they come through. Right. Hank has his own style. I have no one in the world could, you know, Hank Thompson.
Well, there were a lot of those artists, weren't there, who appeared just as artists at the Blackboard with the Huskies?
Oh, yes, the Blackboard, but there wasn't too many big enough for Erlin Husky.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, later, Dave Dudley, and you know what I mean, the guys, they've all appeared in here. Most of them went, though. I mean, most of your big show was at the Palomino
in Los
Angeles, because of the amount of size and the amount of people. Now, here, they bring stars in here yet. They bring them in here.
Sure.
They got an off night or something. Mm-hmm. Or they'll bring them in here. But you don't get them on Friday and Saturday night, though.
Yeah.
It's usually a weeknight or something like that.
Well, now, did Bob Wills play in the dance halls? He didn't play, like, at the Blackboard.
Oh, no,
artist.
No.
He would
no,
play
played
in
a dance
in
hall.
Where were some of the dance
halls?
Well,
it used to be the old... What the devil was the name of that place out here? The Rainbow Gardens. It's gone now. It's Rainbow Gardens. And
what about that? The Pumpkin Center?
You're talking about Pumpkin Center. That's just the other side of the Weed Patch Highway, Pumpkin Center is, you know.
That's a town now.
That's a town.
But they used to have a big dance hall.
Yes. It burnt down, and then they put up a Quonset hut out there. And it was... It's fact is the Quonset hut now is a used furniture store.
Oh,
they just quit having them. As you know, as times improve, TV come out and things like that, people rather seem to sit home and watch, sit in their front room, than to go out and really attend one of these functions.
Yeah.
And I guess I noticed that some of the program or some of the show that's been in here, it's the same principle that they want to... you bring in a big band, a good show, but they all stay home. They don't go to the show.
Yeah.
They'll wait and catch
That's
it on
true.
A rerun
on
TV or something like that.
Well, what in Bakersfield then, they had that one era sort of when they had all the big bands and actually country music wasn't too big then around here, or was it?
Yeah.
It was growing.
It was the most... of any music that there was. Bakersfield has always been country.
So this
care.
Is country.
In other words, you have your Philharmonic that they have their own situation there. I mean, they have their own association that brings it in, or society, I should say. And But your big bands, now also they bring in, once in a while they've got, I don't know whether it's through the college or where it is, but anyway they've got some deal here where they bring in the big bands once in a while,
mm-hmm.
like Jan Garber, for instance, that type
or
of band.
Community concert,
I think that's
whatever.
It.
But still most of the people
most of it
are
is
really country-oriented.
It's mostly country, because you take a majority of all your... the places you have here now, you've got some real nice restaurants here.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Black Angus, for instance,
mm-hmm.
is a nice place. You have Lambucci's down here, the mm-hmm. Tam O'Shanter. Mm-hmm. Now, they play a little, they don't play hard rock. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of a soft, just in between, and a little, and they even play a country tune once in a while. They even force them into playing a country tune once
uh-huh.
in a while. And the same way at the Bakersfield Inn, of course, they have a regular show there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's strictly, now, if I had two places to go, one had country music and the other one had a band in it, or a rock
mm-hmm.
band in there, I'd go with country music, because, I was never much of a rock fan. The fact is, it drives me bugs. It's loud.
Yeah.
Of course, that country music can get just as loud. They turn it up good so you can hear it.
That's true.
But anyway.
But do you think most of the people in this area, the majority of people are probably country-oriented?
I would say, because you notice... when you go, the fiddlers, local fiddlers here, they've got a group of their own here. They've got a little get-together group. And I noticed that here each month, they have this once a month, and each month there's always a few more people showing up. They started out, there's about 6 or 8 people, and now they get 100, a couple hundred people out there to those things. And I believe that... of course, now I might be a country music nut or fiddle nut or something like that myself, which I probably am. But I do like other music. I like classical music.
Mm-hmm.
I like big band music. In fact, we've got records in there, the big band, the classical,
mm-hmm.
and everything else. But I don't know. I still end up listening to country music when I
right.
end up listening. Of course, as I said,
yeah.
I play one or the other, but I
right.
mean, it really does.
Well, I know that many, many more people are listening to country music now than ever did before. But I want to ask you, too, what do you think the main reason is for Bakersfield's fame as Nashville West, or... some of the other names they have, Music City West, or, they've dubbed Bakersfield with all sorts of titles, and you go back to Nashville and they just are asking all sorts of questions. L.A. people, too, are asking all sorts of questions about Bakersfield. What do you think is the reason for that image?
Well, I think the image comes directly from Buck and from Merle. I think between the two of them, I sincerely think that the image is shown there, because when Buck's out on the road, it's always, hey, where are you from? I'm from Bakersfield. It's the whole story, Merle, where are you from? I'm from Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
And the country, it just has heard Bakersfield so much that this minute you see Buck Owens or Merle Haggard, it's associated with Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
And Buck does have a new studio over here, and I understand his sound is terrific. He has very fine sound there. And I know that Merle and Buck has done the most for Bakersfield as far as making the country music capital of the West, which we used to call it that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's an association. They're well-known, they put on good shows, and they're really appreciated when they do go somewhere. And I sincerely believe that the whole thing stems from Buck Owens and Merle Haggard being stars they are. And I think they really do deserve the credit for... making Bakersfield the country music capital of the West. And that's my sincere thought about it, Jenna.
Yeah. Well, I have to agree with you. Tell me just a little bit about what you're doing right now. You've talked about you've been into radio and judging fiddle contests and so forth, but what are you doing right now? You say you're retired, but I'm not quite retired.
I just sit around all day
well,
and look out the back
window.
Well, for fun, now that's different. Oh, I do a little... promo work for a company that I've been with ever since they started out. Back in 1963, we started out in a little room just about the size of this dining room. And now we're moving into a 90,000 square foot plant in December.
And who is that?
That is Marcus Berry Incorporated. That makes sound. They make this fiddle that you play.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't realize it probably, but you really... do play a big part in everyone's mind as far as, you know, all the country western people and probably other people too. They always know Tumbleweed Turner's right there and can supply them, you know, with whatever needs they have. So you really are, you are a key factor in our industry, really, right now. So we're not going to let you retire.
Not going to let me retire. No. Well, they kind of put me on the spot there when they retired me because I just can't go like I used to. And, I mean, it's if I stay fiddle around or don't mess around too much and take care of myself, go to a fiddle contest now and then, that gives me spirit. Or I guess it's spirit or something. Why, I usually feel pretty good. But as far as going out, of course, you know, I used to MC a lot of shows.
Well, you still do.
Oh, yeah, I go out. Well, I'll do maybe two or three a year, and I judge 10, 12 contests a year.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, I'll tell you something else that I think you was back cutting hee-haw in June last year or something anyway. But I'll tell you a place that I went that I think you might be interested in. It's the Colorado Country Music Festival. They have a solid week of country music. And there's a, it was in Denver. It's in Denver every year. Gladys Hart, she's the president, been the president for 13 years of it. Last year was her 13th year. And it's a full week, goes Monday through Saturday night. And there was, last year, there was groups, now I mean good groups. These are all talented groups, come in there and perform two or three nights of the week. No one gets paid for it, not a soul. Everybody pays their own expenses. And they have the biggest get-together, and we were had, there was never, the building we had was hold 700 people. It was a Denver Continental Hotel where it was, and the room held 700 people seated. And they figured they had 1,000 people in there every night. The rest of them were standing or going or coming back to the chairs or something. It was the darndest thing I ever saw. And it's one of the most fabulous country music shows for a whole week. And it's just family. It's just like we're sitting here talking at the table. That's the way that you talk to somebody at the next table, and it's just the way it is. It's just people like that. But that's something else that I think is going to be a coming thing when there's some of these country music festivals and things like that. Because I have been up there, this is the second year I was up there, and I really enjoyed it because you meet so many people. The fact is, there was gospel groups even came in from as far as Malin, Tennessee. That's down toward where you was down there. And there was some Chicago, and there was some Illinois in there. Gospel group came all the way out there to sing two nights and then turn around and went back. But just let's say they went to the Country Music Festival. And publicity-wise, it's very good because, well, fact is, box office was out there. Let me see. What's that news? Nashville News? No. That good newspaper out of Nashville, she was out there.
I know what
Cox,
she means.
Betty Cox. Betty Cox, she flew out there. And, I mean, all the trade magazines make it. And they usually stay about 3 days there taking pictures. And it's got to be quite a thing in Denver.
Well, since Bakersfield is the country music capital of the West, I have a good project for you in the next few years.
Oh, no, Janet.
Be sure and try that. We'll have you put on a big show, Country Music Festival in Bakersfield.
I think that might be a wild idea.
I think that might be just right for you.
With the people coming from all over the country like they do, but this has been, it's really been set up now, and it's Gladys Hart does one awful job on that because everyone knows Gladys Hart anywhere in the country. You mentioned Gladys Hart. Well, they all know her. But she is, she really takes care of it, and she has built it up from just a little get-together of about three bands in 13 years to now, as I said, talent from 14. There was talents from 14 states, and also there's a couple of groups from Canada came down this year. So it's quite things. And but I think here locally, I think as I go back to Buck and to Merle, they are the assets of the community that has made Bakersfield so well known throughout the country music field. And it just doesn't have to be country music field because they're known. You just mentioned Buck Owens and Merle Harry, he's from Bakersfield.
That's right.
And I think that image has been implanted on people's mind, and I think years to come, well, I actually don't think it'll ever be a Nashville because of the size of our town and the foothold that Nashville has had in the industry.
We like to keep it that way, too.
Well, that's true if we keep it that way. But I do think that it is done a lot. Bakersfield has done a lot for country music as it has. As time goes on, I think it does more because Buck and Merle are always out going around. So, I'd like to also mention that some of the other people that were from Bakersfield and that came to Bakersfield, I should say. Of course, there was old Red Simpson, old truck himself. I am a truck himself. Red, I've known him for, well, we won't go into that either. First people think I'm getting old or something like that. And then there was a lovely came in here. Her name was Susan Ray. And Susan, I think I'd done a show with Susan also. I'd done one with LaWanda, isn't it?
LaWanda.
That's LaWanda Lindsay. We were over at Taft here. This has been three or four years ago, I believe. And me and her really got to cutting a swath, and I'm telling you, when you get a hold of that girl, you got a hold of something, boy.
Yes,
she'd turn you every way but loose, boy, I'll tell
right.
you. But it was fun, and we had a real, the fact is, it was a real good highlight of the show as far as I was concerned, because they were changing bands, and her and I got out there, and we were doing a little ad-libbing, and it got wild before we got done with it, but anyway, we sure killed the time while that band changed in there.
LaWanda is a character.
Yeah. And then, of course, old Oil Holly, he was with Buck for a good number of years also. And he was one of the finest bass players, I think, in the country. And he was also the comedian of the band at that
right.
time.
Well, he's doing a lot of work on his own now.
Yeah,
too.
I know he is. He's
right.
got his own band now. And I think he's up in Washington and Oregon, I believe. That's the last I heard that he was up in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then you come to Mafe Nutter. That's something else. That guy there, he's something else. Mafe, you know, he's still a country music man. But Mafe has also done quite a bit of acting. He's
yes.
been in quite a few of the shows. Mm-hmm. I know every once in a while you'll see a credit there, Mafe Nutter, in there. And it's kind of surprises, you know. It doesn't mm-hmm. look like he is when he's out here playing a fiddle or a guitar
right.
or doing an act or something. And, of course, then our good friend Tommy Collins was always a good friend of mine. And Tommy was quite a songwriter. And
uh-huh.
Also he done a lot of shows. And I believe Tom is back in Oklahoma now. I think he's mm-hmm. back in there, some part of the country back in there anyway. And, of course, then there was a kid. The first Toy for Tot show held in the auditorium down here, I was one of the MCs for that, the
mm-hmm.
first Toy for Tot show. And at that time, of course, Buck was putting this on. And at that time, a kid came over to him and said, "Hey, I want to sing." Buck looked at him and said, "You're kidding." He said, "No." He said, "I want to sing." Well, Buck said, "If you want to sing," he said, "go ahead." So his name happened to be Buddy Allen, which was Buck's son. And he sang, and that kicked him off on the career that he's on today, Buddy Allen. That's
he's
how he got started.
Well,
he got started. And so that's how he got started. And I was there the night he started out. And Buck said, "I didn't know that kid could sing a lick." He did. He never knew a thing about it until he just got up and sang one. And of course, old Bill Woods. Now, Bill and I have been old buddies, and Bill is one of the finest piano players in the business. He played violin. He plays guitar. In fact, I don't know any instrument that Bill Woods doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill had the misfortune here about 3 years ago of having some trouble with one of his hands, and something went wrong in it, and he's had a series of operations. The last time I seen Bill, I said, "Bill, you doing any playing?" He said, "Well, no," he said, "but he said I'm practicing." I said, "What do you mean practicing?" I said, "Well, I thought you practiced enough." And he said, "No, it was therapy. Playing the guitar was giving his hand therapy." He said, "It's not just like it should be, but," he said, "I believe it's helping out." He said, "Maybe one more operation and it will be back again." I hope so, because Bill, it really is a fine piano player. He gets
mm-hmm.
really plays guitar too. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Well, he's done a lot too to encourage
mm-hmm.
The development of new talent here
in
Kern County.
He's always trying to help somebody.
Right.
Then we come to a little girl here that I had. Fact is, maybe I was instrumental in her starting out, and that's Marcia Nichols. Harold Cox and the Sooners here in town.
Mm-hmm.
I used to MC all their shows. They were just a young group starting out. Harold was about 16, I guess, or 15. And he ran on to Marcia. And Marcia was one of the finest little old guitar players that ever hit the country. I mean, as far as electric guitar, she just ate it up. She just eat it up. I mean, just no way in the world could stop her. And she played lead with Harold. And we used to go out on these different gigs, and I would always front the show for him because Harold, he didn't want to. And so whenever they played a something. We used to go up here at the Tatchby prison. We used to just tear that place up there. We had them hanging from the rafters and every place else up there. Of course, we did have an audience that couldn't get away from us anyway, that was for sure. But anyway, they really enjoyed it up there. And Marcia, of course, there was a misfortune here, her having an automobile wreck, and she was killed. Mm-hmm. In the wreck, I'm sorry to hear that.
Just very recently.
Very recently she has. And we have another young lady here that was very good. In fact, she has some records out now. And, of course, that was Debbie Hawkins. And I always liked the way she belted out a song. She was a little bit of a thing, but, I'm telling you, there was more song and volume came out of that little frame than anything ever
saw. It's amazing. You wonder where it all comes from.
Boy, she started out on a song. She'd tip you right over the front. You're sitting in front, she'd tip you right over backwards. And, of course, then not last, but not least I want to mention, of course, that's another very good friend of mine, and that is Bonnie Owen. Now, Bonnie and I had been friends and Bonnie, before she even started singing, was working at the Blackboard. Uh-huh. Over here, the waitress at the Blackboard. And I knew her then, and she has came a long ways in music, because, I don't know, she just had a way about her singing that I always liked to enjoy. It was kind of never was actually a real sad song. It always had enough into it that it'd make you want to sit and listen to it.
Yeah.
And Bonnie now, of course, is married to Merle Haggard. And and I understand also, I just heard the other night that she was going out doing a few, the time she retired, you know, she was mm-hmm. going to work in the office. I didn't think that would last too long, really, though, because I know Bonnie was a great entertainer, and I think she liked the way she liked people.
Right.
I think that she just kind of got back into it, and I'm glad to see that she did, she's mm-hmm. going out doing a few now. Mm-hmm. And she did travel with Merle there for a number of years.
Well, she's always been there behind the scenes in one way or another, doing backup vocals or singing solo work herself, and also I think helping with songwriting.
She's very good.
I think it's to her credit, you know, that both of her husbands, Buck and then Merle, do realize the fact that she has been instrumental in their careers. And of course she's a fine artist herself.
That's right, she sure is. But that's a few of the local people here that I think have done well. And it goes right back again to the same old thing, why you asked a question earlier in the interview, why do people think of Bakersfield? Well, there's another reason. All these people are from Bakersfield. They ask you where you're from. I'm from Bakersfield. It goes right back to, well, is Buck Owens from Bakersfield? Is Merle Haggard from Bakersfield? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it all ties together, and I think that's why they have more or less dubbed Bakersfield the country music capital of the West. That's my own personal opinion of it.
We'll hope it continues to grow.
Well, I do too, and it's been a pleasure having you by here today, young lady.
Well, thank you.
And I get to see, I don't get to see much of you, but at least I got to see you for a half hour or so today, anyhow.
Well, we really appreciate your time and also your efforts to continue country music in Kern County, and we're glad that you're a part of our history.
Well, thank you very much. I always knew I'd be a part of something, but I'd love to be history. You take care now, honey.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.